This podcast is a member of the Voices of Wrestling Podcasting Network. Visit voicesofwrestling.com to hear the rest of our great podcasts, as well as show reviews, columns, opinions, and updates across the world of wrestling.
All right, everyone. Welcome to this week's edition of the New Japan Purocast, your weekly audio source for all things in the world of New Japan Pro Wrestling. My name is Colin Miller, being joined alongside, as always, by Mr. Damon McDonald. It is Sunday, September 4th, 2016, and we have got a lot to talk about here today. We are exiting the summer and entering the fall season of New Japan Pro Wrestling, and right now we are on the road to destruction. And in this month alone, we have got not one, not two, but three big destruction pay-per-views coming up. We've got one from Tokyo on the 17th, one from Hiroshima on the 22nd, and one from Kobe on the 25th. So we're going to be talking a lot today about the main matches on those cards. But first, Damon, it feels like we haven't spoken in ages.
I know. Where have you been? Well, you had a big birthday bash celebration, right? Our little boy's growing up, everyone. What are you, 12, 13 now?
I am at the ripe old age of 27.
Wow. Look at you. Pretty soon you're going to be hitting that big 3-0 that you're going to be flipping that second digit. You feel good? You feeling good about 27?
I mean, it's no different than 26 or 25 or 24.
I don't know. Are you the kind of guy that like sits in the, another year's passed, what have I done, what haven't I done? Are you that kind of guy?
I try not to be that kind of guy because it's really a futile process.
Nah, it's not.
Doing that.
I mean, you kind of take, you kind of collect where you are, at 27. Let me tell you something. At 27, I probably wasn't in the best of places. Let's be truthful. When did I get married? I got married when I was 30. I don't know. Maybe I'm thinking I was a bit younger. My younger 20s. I was in shambles. Oh my Lord. You're in a good spot, dude. You got your own place. You got a good job. You're making some decent money, right?
Yeah, putting the bread on the table. Cranking
you don't
out
eat
the,
bread.
That's true. I should rephrase that. Putting the prime rib on the table, the New York strip steaks on the table.
Yeah.
Putting the eggplant on the table.
Did you have a good day? Did you have the eggplant on the table? I don't know if that's good or bad. What you do? You do anything good? You go out with the family? What was it? Give me the birthday celebration lineup. Give me the schedule. I'm sure our listeners are dying to hear.
Oh, I'm sure they're riveted.
Colin celebrated his 27th.
I'm sure they're just riveted to hear what I did.
I am. I'm fascinated by it, to be truthful.
You know what, Damon? I'm a pretty simple guy. I don't ask for much. I basically
just a common man.
Yeah, exactly. I'm a common man, working hard with his hands.
Mm-hmm. more nights than not.
Son of a maintenance man. That is not a lie.
Is that right? You're the son of a plumber?
Yeah, yeah. I'm basically the son of a plumber.
Wow, you are the American dream.
I am, Damon.
Minus about 300 pounds, but.
Well, hey, if I don't watch, anyway.
You watch scarves. So give me the celebration. Give me what's in the Colin Miller birthday. What's a day in the life like?
Day in the life. Went home, hung out with family, drank a pitcher of margaritas.
Ooh.
Felt great afterwards. Thought to myself, I'd be a lot happier if I just drank a pitcher of margaritas every day in my life.
See? But here you go.
But my colon would be screaming, or my liver rather would be
colon. What? Oh, your colon.
I used to work with a guy that would he could not get my name right. He always called me colon, and after a while, I just let it go because I got tired of correcting him. So I'm just like, whatever, dude.
Be like, it's pronounced sphincter.
Yes.
I tell you what, I've been drinking a lot. You're gonna shame me. You're gonna carb shame me. But because I work from home now, right? So it's so easy to get make myself a little drink, a little drinky poo. And one becomes two very quickly.
Lots of old fashions.
Yeah. See, what it is they have this pre-made old fashioned now, right? Where it's like the alcohol and everything is pre-mixed in a bottle. It's not like one of those like margarita mixes.
Right.
It's like a legit hard, you know, you get it where you get your bourbons and your scotches, but everything's pre-made. So it's literally pour it over ice and let the numbness set in. Oh, so it's so tempting, like 1 o'clock in the afternoon, be like, let me crack open one of these dogs and hey, I got to stop that.
You and my father would get along quite well, I have a feeling.
Yeah, your dad likes a wee nip, as they say.
Well, let's just say he does a bit of self-medicating.
Well, that's what it is for me too. Don't get me wrong. A lot of it is let's quell the feelings. let's not have any feelings, shall we? All right. Well, that's good. And listen, you know, listen. It does seem like it's been a while since we've chatted. We've texted and so forth and chatted online, but there hasn't really been a lot of New Japan to talk about, which was good. So it was good to have a little break in there for your birthday celebration. But we got some, it's good that we took a little breather because we have some big shows coming up.
We certainly do. And while I was celebrating my birthday last weekend, you were actually at the Ring of Honor / New Japan Field of Honor show in Brooklyn. Yeah. I want to get into that in a little bit, talk about your experiences attending the show. But there was one thing I just wanted to bring up here, and it kind of piggybacks off of the last episode that we did where we reviewed the Super J Cup. And I took a little poll on our Twitter. And I posed the question, question, how would you rate this year's Super J Cup? And the options were thumbs up, thumbs middle, or thumbs down.
And Damon's an asshole was an option, right?
Yes, and Damon's an asshole, naturally. Okay. All right. Which got 0%, by the way.
So really?
You should feel good about yourself.
Okay. But not what I heard, but okay.
We got 67 votes total, and thumbs up got 16%. Thumbs in the middle got 48%, and thumbs down got 36%. So it seems to me you either hated the show or you kind of thought, meh.
Yeah, I was probably in the middle of meh and hate. And again, it was more, I think it was, if one of those options was I was disappointed, I think that probably would have gotten, you know, the lion's share of your votes. And it was disappointing. I told Kushida it was disappointing. And
did you really?
Yeah, I did. I did. And he looked and he, you know, sometimes silence is golden. And he didn't say much, but he kind of gave you that look of, you know, he knew it. He knew it. And I didn't go up. It wasn't like I walked right up to him and be like, that show sucked. And it's your fault. No, it wasn't like that, but you know, just a little convo there. I talked to a lot of the guys, man. That's one thing, man, about that Ring of Honor show in Brooklyn. First of all, let me say, you're not going to believe this, Miller, and trust me, I couldn't believe it either. The amount of people that came up to me, introduced themselves, said hello, said that they were fans of the show, said that they listened, was pretty amazing.
Why would I not believe that?
Because I don't believe it sometimes. There are times where I'm just like, cool, you listen. I can't believe it. you know, it's just weird to me.
We've got great fans.
We do. And you know, I'm just a dope, but you know, I don't know. Maybe I just don't put it in perspective of the scope that people listen to the show. But yeah, I couldn't believe it. So thanks everyone for coming up. That was very awesome. All the people working the show were fantastically friendly to every. I didn't see one. Like it was a real good mix of people, right? The fans that were there because the fans were cool, the fans were knowledgeable, the fans were. It's always a fun time there. I love that show. So the fans were great, and you know me, you know, I'm the first person to be like, oh, these fucking people get on my nerves. But they were great. They were fine. And the guys that were there, you know, working the show, everyone was great. Everyone took time. Everyone, you know, nobody was rushed, but yet things moved along at a decent pace. You know, it wasn't like you're waiting in line for 20 years. Everybody was awesome. Everybody was awesome. And I got to be honest, Colin, how often? We've been doing this for over a year now.
This is true.
And your boy, Yujiro Takahashi, I mean, listen, he's not been one of my favorites, right? I think it's safe to say, right?
I mean, next to perhaps Doc Gallows, I don't think that there have been two New Japan stars that have been buried more by Damon McDonald than those two.
Yeah. He was tremendous. Let me take that back. He was tremendous outside of the ring, right? Which I can't hate the guy. Like, I went with Mackie, who was an animal. He went with his kid, his son, who we got home around probably around midnight, and he was on a plane to
Disney World.
Disney World, like 5 o'clock in the morning. So yeah, he's a beast. So that's a good pro wrestling fan right there. And then with our friend New Japan, Eric, New Japan Gaijin, real hero. And Eric walks away and he's like, why couldn't he just be an asshole? Why couldn't he just be a fucking dick? Because he was awesome. And now I can't hate him. You know what I mean? Like I can't lay the boots on the guy because he was so awesome. We talked to him for probably about 10 minutes, right? Apparently now as we go to Tokyo in January, he's lined up beers. He's like, "Do you drink beer?" And I was like, "Well, yeah."
That's like asking a fish if they drink water.
Right. I mean, I had two beers in my hand at the time. I'm like, "Yeah, I think so." And he's like, "We'll drink beer." I was like, "All right, we'll drink beer." He's like, "I'll bring the girls." And me and Eric are like, "I bring the girls," right? So apparently, like, we told him, you know, who we talked to and who we know, and so it was just, he was just so funny and awesome.
Spoke good English,
decent, enough that we could understand. That was loud at certain points, so it was kind of hard understanding sometimes, but decent enough to communicate. And then, like, I was like, all right, like, it got to the point where, all right, is he bullshitting us or is he being serious? And so I pulled the old, all right, well, here, Liger tattoo. Like, remember this fucking tattoo. Like, I'm a dope that would get a Liger tattoo. Remember this. And he's like, "Oh, Liger. Okay, I remember. I was like, all right. So I don't know if it will happen, but apparently on the dockets, me and Eric and whoever else is coming along, we're going drinking with Takahashi, the Tokyo Pimp.
That is amazing. And you know what would be even more amazing is if we can set up a little podcast, a little interview with Yujiro somehow when you're over there in Tokyo.
I would do it. Dude, I just want to bring a GoPro for that night. You kidding me? That would be ridiculous. Shibata, great. He was awesome. Tanahashi. Oh, there's a picture of me with Hiroshi Tanahashi. And if you want to tweet it out, I don't care. Do whatever you want. But you know the picture. But if you look at my hand, I'm holding him so tightly. I'm holding him like it's my son and he's going away to college. Literally, there's, like, in his side are my fingerprints right now. And I was we were talking a little bit. And I was trying to get some information out, guys. I was trying to get a little sneak peek for the dome. And I was like, "Look, you better be wrestling Okada. You better be wrestling Okada at the dome." And he gave me the Kushida. I was like, "Oh, come on. You got to be." So I don't know. Maybe he's working me, maybe not. But I don't think we're going to see that. And I don't think we were anyway. I mean, we were looking at Okada.
I don't see how we would see that.
Oh, listen, things can happen, right? Come on.
Not in this case, they can't.
No? They can't rework the card for me? Come on. But everybody was great. We saw Takahashi guy!
Oh, I was going to ask you about that. Yeah, that was one of the main things that I was thinking, like, are they going to run into the Takahashi guy from last year?
Set the stage, Colin. Tell the story of who, for our new listeners, because we have plenty of them. We have lots of new listeners. set the stage for Takahashi guy.
Yeah, so basically, you and Eric, Gaijin Eric, real hero, were at a Field of Honor last year.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the way Eric told it, he kind of overheard, he saw you talking to this gentleman, and I think that the guy thought that you worked for New Japan because you were wearing a New Japan tracksuit.
I know, and luggage and socks.
Yep.
And underwear.
Yep, yep. That was how I met Damon at the airport, everybody.
Well, I had my...
Literally.
Well, again, that's look, that fucking bag is awesome. And let me tell you something. That wheelie bag would save my soul because, well, maybe not save my soul, but like it saved me $100 for paying, you know, for baggage. And they sold them at the G1 and they had them out there. And I was like, I needed luggage anyway. So yeah, it's like a hard case wheelie luggage thing. New Japan logo on it. Why not?
It's beautiful.
It is beautiful.
But anyway, you're talking to this gentleman and he's saying to you, man, you know who I'd really love for them to bring over? Takahashi, man. And at this point, Eric's ears kind of perk up, and he walks over, and he says, wait a minute. You mean Tanahashi, right? Hiroshi Tanahashi. And he's like, no, Yujiro Takahashi, man. He's the best. And Eric's kind of like, well, you just want to see him come out with the girls. And to which, at this point, the guy responds, no, I want to see Takahashi. He's got kind of this Ric Flair thing going on, this Rick Rude thing going on, and you and Eric, your jaws are just down to the floor.
Right. And you got to understand that, like, this was after, like, you know, zero sleep. I had just gotten back from Japan after that year's G1. I'm jet-lagged as all fuck. And, yeah, I couldn't believe what I was hearing. And it was awesome because he was friendly, it was nice, but we were having a good laugh. You know, all of us were having a good laugh with it. And the guy was super friendly, and I forget the guy's name right now, but he's on Twitter, but he's not on Facebook. So he said he was going to try and join the group, but whatever. So anyway, long and the short of it is, we saw him. So we're sitting there, and Hisa, who does – he has like – those Puro History websites. He's a legend. Everybody's been to these sites, the Puro sites, where he's like listing match histories and title histories. We were talking to him, and you know how you kind of just you're talking and your eyes are just scoping around. And I think me and Eric at the same time were like, there he is. And so he's walking around, and I'm like running. Over to where he was, and I was, hey, do you remember us from last year? Blah blah blah. He's like, yeah, I remember Damon and Eric. I was like, yeah. And then we showed him the thread in the Classic Boards thread. And again, this thread talking about last year's situation, it's the most popular thread on the Classic Board, which is a very popular pro wrestling board. It like hundreds of comments about this guy and this situation and how awesome he was, and hey, you can like what you like, and people like different things in pro wrestling, and again, all of which I agree with, but I just, again, my head was blown, and he was there, and he was awesome, and he was blown away by like the fact that he was so popular, you know, like such a part of that group without even knowing it. So we took pictures, and I don't know if it was his girlfriends or his friends were there. She took pictures. It was just a great time, you know. But the thing about it is he got there late and he never saw Takahashi.
Really?
Never saw him. So he was only out there at the beginning of the, you know, before the show. And he was on like, I want to somewhere in the middle of the show, but he never came back out. So he never got to see him. I said, dude, I will pay for the picture. I'll pay for it. Just so you have this moment. He never came back out. So a little bit disappointing there, but yeah.
Did he see him wrestle at least?
Yeah. He was in a six-man.
The Bucks and Page.
Yeah, that wasn't a bad match. It was probably the third best match of the night. He did nothing. Like, there were times where, like, he would take a powder outside the ring, and he was lying on the infield grass as if it were, like, you lying on your floor watching a television show. Like, he had his head propped up on his shoulder. You know, his elbows on the ground, his hands resting in his head, you know, and he's just lounging right around home plate area. And he did nothing for 10 minutes. He didn't do anything.
Hey, Yujiro just may be one of the smartest workers in New Japan.
You know, I like I said, I wish he was like, I'm not signing shit. Or, you know, I just wish he was just a prick, because it would be like, okay, I can continue hating you. Now I can't. I just, because he's just an awesome dude. And you know who else mentioned something like that? Dijon. I'm terrible pronouncing names.
You can't even pronounce.
I can't even pronounce. I know. I think I had a stroke. He made a good point. Like, you know, there's people, you know, you hate who you hate and you like, and you do a show, and I get it. But, you know, I'm sure there's, you know, Doc Gallows is a good guy. And he probably seems like a good guy.
I've listened to Doc Gallows on the last time I listened to him was on Jericho's podcast. Him and Anderson were on there. And he just comes across as somebody like who you'd love to just hang out with and have a few beers with.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, absolutely. I would agree with that assessment. And I don't know the guy. Like, but again, but I'm talking about a character. I'm talking about the in-ring. You know what I mean? Like, I'm not going to judge his ability to share a drink. You know, that's not why we're here, right? Nobody cares.
Exactly. There is a difference between the pro wrestling character and the person.
I would think so. I would hope so. You know what I mean? Like, I would really hope so. I would hope that people got that, too.
This is a work, kids. Remember.
I mean, come on. The show is a work, for crying out loud. But yes, the awesome Shibata was great. Tanahashi, as always, great. The match is Elgin and was it Donovan Dijak?
That is correct, Donovan Dijak.
That was a great match, man.
That was a title match, huh?
Yeah, that was a really good match, man. That was that. All of this is taped for television, by the way. It was all taped for television. Yeah.
Okay, this isn't something that you're going to be able to purchase on demand from Ring of Honor.
You know what? Let me take that back, because some of it might be on demand, but some of it was definitely taped for television, because they would do the old, okay, everybody, I need everybody on their feet. You know, we're going to count it down. Like they would do at TV tapings. So keep in mind, listen, I had a few beers at this point, right? So, you know, my memory's a little fuzzy. But yeah, some of it was definitely taped for television. I don't know if that match specifically, but that was a good match. That's one match that you'll want to go out of your way to try and find, guys. That was really good. They probably went about 15-20 minutes. Lots of hard hitting stuff. Lots of scary spots. Mike had a wrap on his head, because apparently a couple nights earlier he got bonked with a belt, if I want to say. I think that's what we heard from him. And he had staples in his head.
Wow, so he got hard-weighed.
Yeah, so he came out, you know, looking like Hashimoto with the thing wrapped around his head. But yeah, apparently he had some staples, some shit taken care of. Chatted with Kevin Kelly via the text. It was funny, you know, it's the baseball show. So he comes out, you know, here's Steve Carino, and now here's Kevin Kelly. And he comes out and he's like in a Mets jersey and shorts. So I text him and I was like, oh, casual Kevin. And he texts back, every wrestling show should be done in shorts. And I was like, oh, can't disagree with you there. So, I mean, everybody was cool. Like I said, the people were great. The people who came up to us were great. You know, Eric gets tons of people coming up to him, just for what he does, for all the shows that he makes available to everyone. So, you know, he was getting people coming. It was just a nice time. It's a fun show. The atmosphere is great. You got the carnival. You're right there at Coney Island, right? So you got the boardwalk and you got the lights and the rides and everything going on in the background. And, you know, the show's not bad. I mean, you're not going there for greatness. Again, Elgin Dijak was probably my favorite match.
Let me ask you a question. I didn't mean to cut you off there.
That's right.
A question about Dijak. Now, he's a pretty big guy. What would you say? He's about like 6'6".
He is very big. Yeah, he's a tall dude. Yeah.
Do you see him as somebody, if he was brought over to New Japan, that would kind of translate well in front of that audience?
Yeah, I don't see why not. Yeah, I think he would do well. He's one of those guys when people talk about most improved. I think he's doing really well for himself this year. This year, it seems to me, you know, in singles matches, he's walking away as best match of the night more times than not. He's had good matches. I think he would. He's big. He's tall. He's you know, a super upgrade over, and again, this is not a fair comparison, but just because of the experience level, but a super upgrade over a Cody Hall, right?
So you're saying that he is also better than Braun Strowman?
I don't know who that is. this match, Colin, you would love this match. This was great.
Well, I hope they show it on TV because I'm looking forward to checking it out.
It's recorded. I mean, it'll either be on TV or it'll be on demand shortly. I'm surprised it's not already up.
How was O'Reilly Shibata?
Okay, that was the second one. Some people put that as number one, their favorite match of the night. To me, it was second. I liked the Elgin match a little bit more, but one, it was just great seeing Shibata. You know what I mean? Like that doesn't happen every day. So to have him come over and actually have a singles match against a guy like Kyle O'Reilly, it's a pleasure. Great match. Fantastic match. And I think something that's very significant, and again, this is a two-week-old take, mind you, so it's lukewarm at best, but that's significant to have. And again, it wasn't a tap out, and it wasn't a submission. It was a ref stoppage, right? So O'Reilly had him. I don't even know what O'Reilly had him in. It might have been an arm bar or something, but it was, you know, obviously a submission type maneuver. And Shibata, maybe passed out or, you know, but the ref stopped it. Tiger Hattori went for the bell. And it was kind of weird because it didn't, like, a lot of people didn't know what was going on with that. You know, like a lot of people were kind of like, what was it, a fucked up finish? What happened here? But that was the finish, which is very significant.
It is for a number of reasons, because we know that Kyle O'Reilly has expressed his desire to kind of move away from that junior heavyweight division and move up to the big boys table. And I think that we are definitely looking at, I don't know if this is necessarily going to be a match at the Dome, but I think we're looking at a Shibata versus O'Reilly match for the NEVER title, which is a good thing for not only the NEVER title being used for what it was originally intended for, but that is a great stepping stone for Kyle O'Reilly to move up to the heavyweight division, in my opinion.
Right, or at the very least, a blurring of those lines, right? So it's Bobby Fish against Shibata on the 17th, right?
Right.
So, I mean, that's, again, significant. And Bobby Fish is kind of in that, you know, weird, not junior, not heavy. I mean, he had, you know, the thing with Ishii for the Ring of Honor TV title, right? And again, it's just weird that in this day and age that we still have that line in the sand with the juniors. But I will say this, that it does seem like that line is being blurred. And I think that is a tremendous thing, because we've sat here and we talked about those tag belts, those junior tag belts, and how great would it be to kind of, again, not necessarily merge them, but, you know, have a little more of a blur, you know, wipe off that line in the sand. Because the juniors, by and large, are 1,000 more times interesting and 1,000 more times potential for a great match than what you have currently with the heavyweight strap. So, again, we've beat that horse to death with the junior tags, and just for that, but even the matchups for the NEVER belt, just like you said, having that be what it was really meant to be. And even so, you know, New Japan has always, it was always almost like a graduation, but still some of the names that were, again, in air quotes, juniors that took that leap to heavyweights is pretty fucking amazing. You know, you look at some of these names, Colin. Obviously, you start with like a Kenny Omega, right? Because that's the freshest one, right? But even, you know, Prince Devitt. Kota Ibushi. Mara Fuji. Nobuhiko Takada. Koji Kanemoto. You know, Kanemoto, you know, 2006 G1, he made it to the fucking semifinals, right? And you know, juniors, that just didn't happen. And then he challenged Hiroshi Tanahashi for the heavyweight strap.
Right.
Again, Hiroshi Hase. Even, you know, guys who...
How about Manabu Nakanishi?
I think Nakanishi was considered a junior. I mean, a young lion. He definitely, you know, when he first started, he was not a huge guy like he is now. But even Goto, right? And Makabe. Shinjiro Otani. Even you know, guys, Owen Hart.
That's
even
right.
A guy like Owen Hart. There's just too much talent, and all these guys are in the twos, probably low twos, which, again, to me, that's a heavyweight. You don't have to be Vader, you know. You don't have to be Bam Bam Bigelow. You don't have to be Scott Norton to be.
You don't
a
have to be King Kong Bundy.
Yeah, right. Five count. I saw him the other day. As a matter of fact,
did you really?
Yeah. Where was I?
He's a stand-up comedian.
Ah, what?
Yeah, he is. He actually does stand-up.
Really.
I can't make this up.
If I would, I would pay money to go see this.
So would I.
Would you?
Yeah, all right, absolutely.
All right, we'll give a field report.
Yeah,
King Kong Bundy.
Yeah, next time Bundy's doing a gig, we're there. Oh, we'll do a Pyro cast.
I have a magazine, and again, Japanese to English is sometimes tough, and things get lost in the translation. But in the magazine, he's King Kong Bundy.
Bundy.
Yeah, but again, it's just the names that I rattled off that were big time juniors made significant strides in the heavyweight division. And I think the quicker that line in the sand gets removed, the better off this promotion is going to be. A lot of your talented guys are just handcuffed by being that quote unquote junior. And Kenny Omega has said it many times, you know, that, you know, that handcuffing and that placement of being a junior to me is wrong, but it's always been there that traditionally they took a backseat to those heavyweights. And talent wise, we know that that shouldn't be the case.
Yeah. I think that, at this Hiroshima show, you know, of course we have for the IWGP, heavyweight tag titles, the Young Bucks challenging Jay and Mark Briscoe.
Yep.
Now, a lot of people have been asking us, does this mean that these two titles are going to be merged? I see the Bucks walking away with the heavyweight titles, and they're going to be both the heavyweight tag team champions and the junior tag team champions. I think that they're going to keep both belts.
I don't know. I think New Japan is a little gun shy of merging belts. I don't know
why. That's
why
I think they're going to keep both of them.
Yeah, I think so they're going to each wearing two straps.
Right.
Okay. All right. I can't say that that's the craziest idea. I think they could. There's no reason why they can't.
And how about this idea too? How about instead of having two separate tag tournaments, how about we just have one G1 tag league?
Yes, because we know those shows are dreck, right?
Hey, you can go back and you can listen to past PuroCast episodes from last fall, last winter, when Damon and I were reviewing struggling to get through these tag tournament shows. Yeah, the great matches on those shows are few and far between.
Yeah, I mean, especially like, you know, you're in the middle of the tourney, and you know, there's just the what could have beens for that. You know, if you got more junior involvement, you know, would have made the tournament much more interesting. But you didn't get that. You got, you know, hodgepodgey tag. I might say hodgepodgey tag team, but you had, like, you know, Okada and Ghetto. You know, it's like, you know what, you know who's lying down there. You know what I mean? Or you had, you know, like, I don't know, Ishii and Yoshihashi, or, you know, Gallows and Anderson, or, you know, or, you know, it just wasn't. It didn't have a spark. It didn't have a sizzle. You throw in a Young Bucks. You throw in a Roppongi Vice.
You throw in a Red Dragon.
Throw in a Red Dragon. Things get, you know, Seidel and Ricochet.
Imagine like the plethora of interesting matchups we can have with this tag tournament. Like, how about a Red Dragon versus GBH? That could be a unique, cool matchup that we've never seen before. Or even, how about Ricochet and Seidel versus Tenkozy?
Right, and to me, that's
interesting.
Yes, that's interesting. Like the contrast of styles makes that interesting. You know, on one of these destruction shows, the Kobe one, I believe it is, Colin, and correct me if I'm wrong, but you're going to get a taste of that. So you got a Nagata Shibata versus Red Dragon.
Yeah, I believe so. I'm looking at the card right now, and you are correct. Yuji Nagata and Shibata versus Fish and O'Reilly.
Tell me you're not jacked up for that.
Yeah, that's something that we haven't seen before.
To me, that's interesting. So again, I'm glad that we're seeing this. I'm glad that the tide is turning where juniors and again, we're starting small. It's not like, you know, you're getting, you know, Will Ospreay against Tanahashi, you know.
That would be a great match.
Yeah, it would be. I mean, listen, it would be. But again, you know, we're starting small. You know, and here's the thing, too. I've said it before. We'll say it again. And sometimes I have to remind myself of it, too. This is a promotion that is for a Japanese audience who has been conditioned to kind of treat pro wrestling in this fashion of having these lines in the sand when it comes to weights and juniors and heavyweights and the importance and significance of both. So again, for us, it's pretty common right now, right? Like Ring of Honor and Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and you know, we're used to this. And again, air quotes. This is kind of our everyday. So a lot of times people just kind of don't understand why New Japan or, you know, All Japan or Big Japan or whomever, you know, don't have that same mindset of, you know, these guys could be heavyweights. And I think UFC, and I think it was Meltzer who usually, you know, dies on this hill, but it's like, you know, UFC has kind of, and MMA in general has kind of reconditioned people's minds too, that smaller guys, relatively smaller guys, can handle themselves pretty well in those types of situations, right? Against a bigger guy. So again, this is pleasing to me. This is because what it does, it makes for interesting matchups, great matchups with talented guys, probably the most talented guys on the roster. Now have an even bigger, brighter spotlight to shine. If we're going to start with the Never, great. Let's do that because there has to be some reconditioning that needs to be done for the Japanese audience, I would think. But yeah, let's make that happen because I'm all in for that.
So before we move on and start to talk about some of these main matches on the three destruction shows, any final thoughts regarding the Brooklyn Field of Honor show?
It's my favorite show of the year.
Wow, high praise from Damon.
It is. It's such a great time. I mean, it's like, I don't know, like the whole atmosphere is fantastic. It's not like the best wrestling show of the year. I don't want to say that, but it's the most fun. I look forward to it. It's hanging out with your friends, having a couple cold ones, talking pro wrestling. You got, you know, 1,500, maybe 1,000, maybe two, who knows, wrestling fans all, you know, the kind of know what's going on and the, you know, smart audience and, you know, very few dopes.
How was Kushida versus Dalton Castle, by the way?
I'm gonna be honest, it was a little bit too comedy-ish for my liking.
I probably would have loved it.
Yeah, you probably would have. Your pants would have been down.
I'm a big Dalton Castle guy.
I mean, listen, he is what he is. I mean, you're either gonna, you know, if you dig that style, he's probably the top guy right now. He's got WWE written all over him, though. Like, to me, he's a guy that's just, like, I don't see him New Japan.
No, I don't see him New Japan. He is, to me at least, one of ROH's biggest stars. He's got this star quality about him with the whole peacock gimmick and just his facial mannerisms. And not only that, I think that the guy is really a great worker, and he's improving all the time.
I think he's underrated in that fashion. Yes, I'll definitely give that to him. Again, is he my speed? Probably not. You know, he's not going to be on my top 10 list, but to me, the highest compliment I can give that guy is that he is tailor-made for WWE. Like, I can't imagine that he hasn't been contacted as of yet.
I hope he goes there and makes a boatload of money because he deserves it.
I think anybody deserves it. You know what I mean? If you can get it, if that's your goal, go for it. I was about ready to get sidetracked on a tangent about a different thing, but I had this conversation and I have done my darndest to not follow WWE. And the reason being is this. Everybody knows Senior Larry Oto, right?
That is correct.
If you know us and you don't know them, I don't know how that happened. But if you don't know, again, he's done more for pro wrestling and exposing people to different styles and brands and wrestlers and promotions than just about anybody I know. And it's all just from 30-second GIFs.
Yeah, he posts GIFs from everything.
Yeah.
WWE, New Japan, CMLL, you name it.
Yeah, I mean, indie promotions, you name it. You're exactly right. And from all time periods. So to me, here's a guy that just does so much for pro wrestling. And to have his Twitter account get shut down, and we all know why.
This happened on SummerSlam night, am I right?
The next morning I woke up to it.
Okay.
I woke up to that.
I think it actually happened like on the night of SummerSlam.
Might have been. Like, to me, that's just shitty. You know what I mean? Like, I understand intellectual property.
But it's like a 10-second GIF.
It's really, like...
He's not giving away the entire show.
No, by no stretch of the imagination. And you're going to shut down the guy's account. How about WWE just say, hey... Because I guarantee you, the guy... Any dealings that I've ever had with him have been really great. The guy's a good guy. Moondog Mackey had... the headaches it is to change your credit card information on New Japan World.
Oh yeah, don't.
It's a nightmare.
Don't even
right?
get me started.
It is a nightmare. It is an absolute nightmare. And I know they take PayPal now, but it's a nightmare. And Mackie was like, "Do you know how to do this, dude?" And I was like, "I gotta be honest with you, I don't." But I think, if I'm not mistaken, Senior Larry Oto had this whole tutorial on how to do it, and I can't find it. But if you hit him up, the guy got back to him the same day. Mackie had it changed, and that was that. And it's just a good. Again, if WWE just direct messaged them and said, "Hey, look, do me a favor, don't post this. You know, just don't." And he want to do it. It would be done. But no, they have to go and file a fucking complaint and shut him. That bothers me. That bothers me a lot. And that's always been the mentality. Like, WWE has – I can't believe we're talking about this for this long. But and this is why I don't want to talk about the WWE. And I have a problem talking about the WWE. And when, like, you bring up WWE stuff, I'm kind of like – not because it's not important wrestling stuff. It kind of is at times. It's the fact that that fucking company – consistently and constantly does shit to better them and not pro wrestling. You know what I mean? Like, they just do shit. And I get the fact that they have stockholders and they have a whole thing that they have to answer to. But I don't know, man. Really? Did you have to shut the fucking guy down? I don't know, maybe I'm just being naive, but it just, to me, it feels like, and again, I'm an older guy, so I've seen it all through the 80s and 90s. They just give a fuck about themselves and the money that they can make and not pro wrestling in general. That's really just my rant of the day.
Hey, they're making movies, Damon. Remember.
Right, and I don't give a shit about making movies. One, and like the product itself is not for me. It's not for me. And the shaky cam and everything. But that aside... It's just the fact that they would go out of their way to shut down a Twitter account that has done so much for pro wrestling. And again, he just started a new one. I mean, I think it's Mr. Larry Oto.
That's right. It is at Mr. Larry Oto.
Okay. So definitely give them a follow if you don't already. But
he follows us, so.
Yeah, yeah. And he's a good guy. I mean, like I said, it's not like he's sitting there pirating pay-per-views, right, and then selling them. You know, that's not what he's doing. So, okay, enough of that. But that's and again, I saw that, you know, Ibushi's matches are getting rave reviews on the Cruiserweight Classic, and what was the one that you said was pretty great?
Yeah, the matches that I really loved that I thought were blow away were number one, Ibushi versus Cedric Alexander.
I heard that was really good.
I just thought that was so good. Akira Tozawa versus Gran Metalik, who was Mascara Dorada from New Japan and CMLL. That was great. Even Ibushi versus Brian Kendrick.
I heard that was pretty good.
That told a great story.
Yeah, I did see the after interview, the tears, and the both those guys. Yeah, look, they do.
As far as American pro wrestling and like how I think that it should be presented, man, if WWE, if that was how they presented their main product, like to me, this Cruiserweight Classic that they've been doing is like the perfect balance of sports entertainment and pro wrestling. Like, Rich Swann, for example, comes out and he's got his whole dancing gimmick, but then he gets in the ring and he does these unbelievable aerial maneuvers. Like, to me, for what I want in my American pro wrestling, this Cruiserweight Classic has been right up my alley.
Yeah, I can see it. I just, again, every time I want to push that button, I don't know, like there's something inside of me that's just like, and it's, they get my money anyway. You know, they're getting my $9.99 anyway. So just turn it on, but it's just like, motherfuckers. I don't know. So anyway, but how about Ibushi, though? Let's talk a little bit about Ibushi while we're there.
Let's talk about Kota Ibushi. And I'll give you now bear in mind, I don't know anything. You know, I just do a podcast.
Colin,
I don't have
you
any...
know more than you. don't be fooled by that.
I'm not.
This guy's on the inside.
I'm not Scoops Miller here.
Yeah, you but, and Dave Meltzer lifting weights.
That's right.
Low carbonate. Low carbonate.
I'm spotting him as he's benching.
Tell me about Ibushi. All right, stop the weights on your chest.
I think if I was a betting man, I know that Ibushi has said that his ideal deal would be to be able to work in Japan and do NXT or whatever at the same time. And I know that Uncle Paul has shot that down during one of the conference calls and said, no, we want all of the cruiserweights to be working Raw starting September 19th exclusively. However, even though Ibushi has said that he would like to split his time between the two, I think that he's working us a little bit. I think he's signed.
I don't think he has.
Okay.
And from every...
Tell me why.
Okay, so every person that I've talked to has said that he hasn't signed Dick All, right? Some people might have more knowledge than me, definitely have more knowledge than me, and some might have more knowledge than others. To a person, though, they've said that he hasn't signed anything. I don't think he's signed. Now, again, this might just be, let's get people like us all riled up with the possibilities and even maybe even Kenny Omega feeding into it, right? But I don't think he signed anything. And I sat here before and I said, you know, Kota Ibushi's not your typical pro wrestling guy, right? He's not just looking for the payday. There's something else that makes him tick. There's something else that gets him up in the morning. And I don't know if, and again, just because WWE, you know, Uncle Paul comes out with the contract and they're sign here, buddy, doesn't necessarily mean a guy's going to sign. Right? It might not be right for him. And especially a guy like Kota Ibushi, who, you know, all praise go to Nakamura and Kenta and, you know, people of that ilk.
Asuka.
Asuka, who uproot. And
their
entire lives,
basically.
Yes, and maybe that's not for him, you know. And this Cruiserweight Classic is really the best of both worlds for Kota Ibushi, because he doesn't have to, like, he flies in, does the show, and then he's out. He's back home, right? And he doesn't have to stay. And he's getting the exposure. Like, he's getting just as much exposure, if not more exposure, now than anybody on NXT. Maybe not anybody, but I would say an equal footing, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So his name's getting out there. His popularity is getting out there. WWE is pushing him to the fucking moon, it seems like, right?
Yeah, I mean,
it hasn't signed anything.
It looks to me like they're building towards a Zack Sabre Jr. versus Kota Ibushi finale here for this tournament. And just the way that they've been pushing Kota Ibushi and the way that he's been positioned, and I don't know, man. I just think that he's working us a little bit here. I think that we're going to see him as a part of the permanent cruiserweight division in WWE. However, I hope I'm wrong. I mean, I would still love to see him, you know, do a main event, the Tokyo Dome one day, have that match with Omega has been planting the seeds for. So I hope I'm wrong. I hope that we do see him in New Japan sooner rather than later, maybe after this tournament is finished. But I don't know. I just have the feeling, and just looking at how crazy 2016 has been with all the guys jumping ship and
he's going to TNA.
Yep, he's going to TNA. He's going to work like once a month. No. Yeah. I get the feeling that if he hasn't signed anything yet, he's going to.
Maybe it's just me holding out hope that we'll finally get that Ibushi Omega payoff one day.
I hope we do.
You know, how long ago was that glance? And you know the glance I'm talking about.
Yeah, God, that was
you know, AJ Ibushi.
Yeah, yeah, we talked about it on this show when it happened, I think.
Yeah, that glance again, and Omega in the ring, and him kind of half-heartedly cheering, and yeah, you did it, AJ. Yeah. Again, those things happen for a reason. Now, I'm not saying that everything that's happened so far, you know, was written in the notebook of Ghetto. I'm not saying that.
It's all work.
Imagine that. Imagine that fucking notebook. I'm not saying it. But what I am saying is that there's stuff there that can be built for that future. Again, maybe it's just me pipe dreaming. Maybe it's just me working myself into a froth. Ibushi hasn't signed anything. I would think
nobody really knows that, though. That's the thing. Even Meltzer has said he doesn't really know.
Let me ask you this.
Okay.
So all the promotion, and let's be honest here, Ibushi's been the star of this whole production, right?
He has.
Like everything in, wouldn't WWE be like, yep, we locked him in? That would be front and center, right? They haven't done that. Because there's nothing to announce.
Right? They haven't said anything.
No. So wouldn't that... I mean, that would be the second the ink is the paper, that would be, you know, breaking news on WWE.com, right?
Yeah, I mean, as far as I know, the only guys that have been, like, officially inked are Cedric Alexander, Mascara Dorada, a.k.a. Gran Metalik.
How about that guy? A year ago, would you have said he was there?
Look, right? Let me tell you something. They've done more with Mascara Dorada in this Cruiserweight Classic than New Japan did with him in his entire run there.
I agree. I agree. They New Japan dropped the ball there. I agree. New Japan dropped the ball.
That one still blows my mind. Like, what an opportunity to have to have a talent of that caliber. You could have had him going against Kushida for the junior heavyweight title, but all he did throughout his entire New Japan run was work tags and just flounder.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if flounder is the word, but yeah, he was just middle.
It.
Yeah, I mean, he wasn't an important piece of the puzzle, that's for sure. And again, we're not. You mean to tell me you couldn't stick the fucking tag titles on him? You mean to tell me you couldn't stick the junior strap on him?
Yeah, you could have stuck him with, oh, God, I don't know, somebody, and they could have had a junior a junior title run.
Something, you know. You know, he couldn't stick around for the never six man?
Yeah, it could have been him and Nagata. And,
Juice?
Yeah, yeah, they could have been the never six man champions.
Yeah, look, they dropped the ball. I don't think there's anyone that would tell you different. Yeah, it's. But if you told me a year ago that he would be in the position that he is right now, and listen, you know, 6 months from now he might turn into just jobber to the stars, right?
That's a possibility,
right? He might be lying down to Ty Dillinger. I don't know.
Hey, the
Ascension or whatever.
They don't have a good track record. Let's just say that.
No, they don't. I can't believe we talked about that shit promotion for so long. The problem is that there's no shows to talk about for New Japan, but there are shows to preview, aren't there, Colin?
There
can't
are.
We preview some? Well, let's do that then. Let's preview some shows. That's what the people want to hear.
That is what the people want to hear. We've got three big Destruction shows coming up. I wanted to talk a little bit today about the main matches on each of these cards. So let's start off with the first Destruction show in Tokyo that's going to take place on Saturday the 17th, and the main event for that one is for the IWGP Junior Heavyweight title. We've got Kushida defending against Bushi. Damon, I think that we are looking at a title change here.
Okay.
I think that one of the themes of this trio of Destruction shows is a Los Ingobernables sweep.
Okay, so it's a little redemption for
L-I-J.
Yeah, okay, okay.
That's what Steve Corino calls it.
Yeah, yeah, he's doing the I can't pronounce it gimmick, where it just comes naturally to me. strange that we're headlining this with the junior belt.
Yeah,
that's the headline.
Yeah, you would think. I don't know. Maybe. What do you think is a more marquee headlining match? This Kushida versus Bushi or Shibata versus Fish? Because that's the semi-main event on this first show. Shibata versus Bobby Fish.
I guess Bushi Kushida. I guess Bushi Kushida. I mean, they've done everything in their power to reestablish Bushi as a credible threat, right? He's, you know, kicked the shit out of Kushida on numerous occasions.
He's blown his fair share of mist.
He's blowing mist left and right. I can't believe they're headlining with this. That's a pretty ballsy move from New Japan, don't you think?
It is a ballsy move. I couldn't believe it either when I took a look at this card and saw that at the very top.
I don't think that's a strong main event. I'm going to be truthful. I don't. Bushi Kushida?
But here's the other thing, too. We've seen this match before at the end of last year, I want to say. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think it was during wintertime. I can't remember the exact timeline, but we have seen this match before. And the last time that we did see it, I can't say that I was exactly impressed with the match quality that these two had.
I thought it would. Listen, I don't think it's going to be a terrible match. Again, we talked about possible opportunities for shenanigans. Yeah. I mean, this does. Yeah, it was earlier this year, wasn't it? It was February.
Yeah, it was February. Because it was after Kushida recaptured the title from Omega at the Dome.
Correct. You are correct. New Beginning show, right?
Right.
New Beginning show. That didn't headline, did it? That didn't headline that show.
No, I don't believe so.
Let's see. What was the headline of that show? This was Kenny Omega Tanahashi.
Okay. Yep. That was when Omega won the title and was catapulted into stardom.
That is correct. That was at one of the last Bullet Club Doc Gallows Carl Anderson matches.
That must have been your favorite show.
Kenny Omega defeating Tanahashi. I know I probably cried there. Actually, that was a really good match.
Well, no, I meant Gallows and Anderson's last match.
Oh, that's why
I said that.
Oh, yes. Well, listen, they're doing wonderful things now.
They're holding
jars of piss.
Hey, wouldn't you agree that they are exactly where they're supposed to be right now?
Holding jars of piss. Yes.
Exactly. With balls in them.
With testicles in them. Yeah, they're. Sky's the limit, right?
So ironic that Doc Gallows' gimmick in New Japan was the cock swings,
and
their first major storyline revolves around balls.
Right, testicles. You're exactly right. Good point, Colin. Yeah, that was third from the top, Kushida and Bushi.
I don't remember, there was nothing memorable about that match, so I'm hoping that...
I don't think it was a bad match. You think it was I
can't remember it.
Well, I mean, listen, we're pretty brain dead. We can't really remember. I can't remember what I had for breakfast. But I thought this was a decent match, right? I thought this was a decent match. Anywho, I just think it's weird that, I mean, weird is not the right word, but it's that's a struggle for me to kind of get behind that being the main event. And again, we have that. We have I guess we'll address that. Is this going to be a title change? It could be. I think. Yeah. You know what? I'll go along with it, Colin. Why not?
Yeah.
Bushi wins this one. I could see that. I could definitely see that. Shibata, Bobby Fish. I think Shibata wins.
Yeah, Shibata's definitely going to win because, like I alluded to earlier, I think that we're looking at, in the future, I don't know if it's going to be at the Dome or Power Struggle, but Kyle O'Reilly is going to be rapping on Shibata's chamber door for a title shot at that never open weight championship. And I
very,
think,
very medieval of you there, Colin.
You know, well, you know, I was thinking of the Raven for some reason because, anyway. Yeah.
Does Scott Levy?
No. I think that's going to be O'Reilly's stepping stone towards officially moving into the heavyweight division.
Mm. You want to hear a good Raven story?
Sure. I always love a good Raven story.
I got two. One I can verify. One is really my speculation. I'll give you my speculation one first. Okay. So I saw him at a club in Cherry Hill, New Jersey. It was called Sanctuary, right? And it was kind of like, you know, how early 90s, you know, and late 80s, early 90s alternative music was kind of, you know, what was played on college radio was kind of becoming more of a forefront, right? So your bands like The Smiths and The Cure and REM and that kind of stuff. And even grunge was just starting to kind of take off. And I saw him at a club and you can believe me. You don't have to believe me. Whatever. Mackie will fucking verify this. So I dressed very similar to what Raven dressed like in ECW, right? That whole entire fucking thing, except I had black kind of Robert Smithy hair. Right?
Did you have like a flannel shirt hanging around your
tied
waist?
Tied around my waist. Doc Martens, shorts. What band t-shirt? Probably, you know, a band, whatever band t-shirt, right? Leather jacket, right? The whole nine yards. And I saw him at a club and we were talking about Portland, his time in Portland and his time in Memphis and just pro wrestling and how he likes American style, doesn't like Japanese style, all this fucking shit.
Scotty Flamingo.
I told him I went to Baltimore to see him wrestle Liger. And he beat Liger.
Wow.
I swear to God.
With the Raven effect.
Colin, hands to the fucking sky. I promise you, on my deathbed, 2 or 3 weeks later, that motherfucker debuted at ECW. And I was like, that's fucking me.
Wait a minute. So you're saying, what you're essentially saying here, You're breaking this on the PuroCast.
I'm breaking this. I told you I had ECW stories.
You gave Raven his look, essentially.
I'm not saying.
You're saying.
I think it's a fucking coincidence that I saw that son of a bitch, and legit, it was like 3 weeks later, that motherfucker came out with Stevie Richards. And I was like, what? What?
It was like looking into a mirror.
It really was. Except, again, my hair was black and Robert Smithy, and his was, you know, is what it was. What it was. The curly fucking shit. Yeah. I promise you. I swear to fucking God. Then, number two. This one I can definitely verify. So, Moondog Mackey's getting him and another friend. He used to DJ, not my friends, Raven used to DJ at the strip club, right? During the time he was in ECW. And they went in, I think it was called Moon Dancers or something like that. It was like in Morristown, like right around here. So they went in and they were talking wrestling and blah, blah, blah. And I know Mackie ran up, he kept ordering drinks, but putting it on Scotty's tab, like the DJ's tab. And it was like some ridiculous amount. It was like $100 or whatever, and he never paid. So Max, Raven, $100. You know it.
I hope he's listening right now, Raven.
Well, apparently the same guy, guy's name's Mike Joy. He was going to do some type of podcast with him. They were going to talk about comics or something like that. But Mike Joy couldn't get the fuck. He didn't know how to do. Like he would text me and be like, how do you guys do the PureCast? And I'd be like, I don't know. Colin does it. Literally, that's what I would be, because it's the truth. I'd be like, I don't know. Colin does it. I can ask him. And he never got back.
It's a secret.
So, yeah, but he wanted us to, like, I think what he wanted us to do was to produce it, like his show. And I was like, I don't know.
Hey, I mean, you know, if you can put enough zeros on that check there, I'll do just about anything.
Yeah. So there's my two Scotty stories. There you go. All right. There you go.
Yeah, but getting back to this Shibata versus Fish match, like you said, I don't think that we're looking at a title change here, because I think, again, we're building towards Shibata versus O'Reilly, the rematch. But I think that this is going to be a really good match, because both guys have, I would say they have similar styles. You know, they have that sort of legit MMA shoot fighter sort of, you know, choke you out style going on. So I'm looking forward to this, actually. I think that they're gonna work together really well and have a good dynamic.
Again, I think I love the fact, again, heavyweights, juniors, let's blur the line, two great workers. I think it's gonna, that's probably the match I'm looking forward to most on that show.
Yeah, absolutely. And again, getting back to what the never open weight title was originally made for, you know, to have interesting matchups like these, you know, junior heavyweights challenging heavyweights, you know, to make this not just a, you know, a third tier title, but a unique title, an interesting title that we can see these kind of matchups take place. So yeah,
I like the fact that it's like eras, you know, because what do we call the never open weight title before? It was like, was it the, what did you call it, the beat the shit out of each other title?
Yeah, the, you know, the Ishii versus Makabe, you know, just slap the shit out of each other, you know,
beefy clothesline to the right. Mush. Yeah, well, I mean, maybe we have a new era here. Maybe again, maybe this is a bridge to and here's another thing that I will say. You know, he knew, and I say, hey, Ghetto, but also New Japan in general, they listen. You know, it's not like we haven't been saying this for months.
I was just going to bring that up.
You know, it's not like we haven't, and again, it's not, I'm not saying it was us that were, you know.
I'm saying Ghetto is listening to the PureCast.
All right.
And he's taking his notes, and he's like, oh, you know, these two Gaijins are making some good points here.
I maybe this is something you should probably discuss off the air, but I know that there's people that work for that company that listen.
Yeah, hey, okay. It would not surprise me.
So hi, thanks for listening. As I had to take a sip of my iced tea.
Speaking of Bobby Fish, Kyle O'Reilly is also wrestling on this card. Do you know who his opponent is?
I don't. Tell me.
It is none other than Juice Robinson.
Let me tell you something about Juice Robinson. Did you catch the Lions Pride show?
No, that was the one on September 1st, I think, from the other day, right?
Yeah. So again, it we all know what they are. They're a lot of the New Japan Young Lions, kind of getting like their feet wet.
Developmental shows, essentially.
Yeah. I mean, very developmental shows. I mean, the majority of these matches are basic in structure and basic in tempo and basic in you're not watching these matches to, you know, get G1 caliber pro wrestling. But if you're into kind of like watching guys develop and seeing them in their infancy, they're not bad shows. Would I recommend them? Probably not, unless, again, you're into that kind of thing. To a casual New Japan person, probably not. I wouldn't recommend them. So Juice, though, on these, he's leaned upon to be one of those, you know, learning hands, you know, to teach these guys how to work matches and how to structure matches. And he's, you know, he's leading that charge. And on these shows, he shines. Like, to me, he is head and shoulder. You know, we sit here and we hand wave Juice sometimes. And he's definitely gotten better. Right? He's definitely gotten better.
Yeah, I mean, in his infancy, when he first started with New Japan, he was nothing. But you're going to see him. I'm telling you right now, he is going to be in that most improved category at the end of the year for the awards.
You think so?
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay. I mean, I just hope he gets enough. You know, there's a lot of most improves that you can put in that list. I think he's definitely deserving. Don't get me wrong. I think he's definitely deserving. Let me ask you this. Who's more deserving for most improved? Juice, David Finley.
I would probably have to go with David Finley. I think that we've seen a lot from him this year. Okay. He's really stepped up to the plate with the departure of Jay White. Yeah, I mean, I probably have to go with Finley, but Juice is definitely a close second.
Okay. Now, again, I think that he's always been a very good wrestler. I just think he's gotten away from it. Who's most more improved? Taguchi this year? Juice.
I wouldn't put Taguchi in most improved because, good, to me, he's a guy who's had it all along. He gives it when it's time. You know what I mean?
Okay. I agree with that.
Like, the guy's a great wrestler, but he's only going to bring that out when it's time. When, you know, we saw it at Best of the Super Juniors. How many great Taguchi matches did we have there?
Mm-hmm. I agree. Okay, last one. Who's more improved? Tonga Loa?
All right. Let's end it there.
All right. But anyway, yes, those shows, that had a six-man, too. Again, a little continuation of the New Japan Noah stuff. They brought in the crowd. It was in Shinjuku Face. Again, the building that, I swear to God, speaking of Sanctuary, where the whole Raven thing went down, when I went in that place, it reminded me of Sanctuary. So it's like, you know, everything's painted black, and it has, like, you know, it looks like a club where they just stuck a ring in. That's where this show happened, and it was more of a continuation. They brought in the crowd, the Noah and New Japan guys. So of anything, check out that match. That was a fun match, and again, helping continuing that feud. You know, I know I'm jumping around all over the place, but back with Shibata at the Ring of Honor, man, we were just fawning over Shibata and like, oh my God, the way you were headbutting them. He was just laughing.
Like he was nothing.
Yeah, he was like, ah, Peshaw.
Just another day in the life.
Yeah, he's a machine. All right, so that's that. What else we have on the show? Can we do the full lineup here?
Yeah, if you want to do the full lineup, I was going to move on to the Hiroshima show.
And let's talk. Let's see. What's the full lineup? Give me the rundown. I'll give you how excited I am. Right?
So, this is going to be good.
Really? Okay.
Because there's one match in particular on here. It's the second match. I cannot wait for us to review this.
Okay. So Kushida Bushi, I'm gonna be honest. I'm not excited for it.
I'm gonna go from bottom to the top. All right.
Okay. All right. We'll go with that. Go that route.
All right, so the first match, we've got Roppongi Vice versus David Finley, and I believe, correct me if I'm pronouncing this wrong, Henare, he's a new young lion.
Yeah, like the R-E is where I have the problem. Is Hinane, is it? Because R's, they don't really have R's. So, one of the young lions, I mean, four, I'm excited for it. Four?
That sounds about right.
Okay.
Now, this next match, Damon, this is what I live for, actually. us reviewing Matt. Okay, here we go. Manabu Nakanishi and Yuji Nagata versus Captain New Japan and Yoshitatsu.
Fuck that match.
I can't wait for us to talk about this.
Oh, good.
This is going to be great.
God. Well, I don't think it's going to be great at all. Hopefully, it's kept short. Fuck. I can't lie. I can't dance around it. I'm not going to walk on fucking eggshells. Two. Listen, they'll be lucky if I don't just reach for the fast forward button. I'm going
to
be truthful.
Oh, no. You have to watch this.
I don't have to do shit.
No. I'm telling you. You have to watch this match.
For what?
Because we have to review it.
Oh. Two.
The people are counting on Damon. They're waiting with bated breath for your reaction to Nakanishi and Nagata versus Captain and Yoshitatsu. Trust me.
Well, let me give him a sneak preview. Sheep, 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 sheep. Sheep, sheep,
sheep. Sounds like shemp.
A little bit. I don't give a flying F. All right, next. Sorry, S-Bach. I know you're excited to see Captain New Japan. I'm not. All right, move on.
Tiger Mask, Honma, and Makabe versus Liger, Kojima, and Tenzan.
Repeat that? What? Tiger Mask, who and who?
Yeah, we've got Tiger Mask, Honma, and Makabe, GBH.
Okay. All right, that makes sense. All right.
Versus,
against?
Versus Liger and Tenkozy.
I mean, I feel like I've seen this match 700 times before. Three.
Okay.
I mean, what are we sinking our teeth into here with this? Tenzan's return?
I suppose. I mean, maybe Tenkozy getting back in the mix.
The mix? Ooh. I don't want them back in the mix. I thought we were done with that.
Well, right. We're going to see them in the tag tournament in the fall. I'm sorry
we
to
are
say.
Gonna, yeah. Yeah, you got that right.
But like I said, maybe it will be that joined tag tournament.
I hope so. There's nothing for me to sink my teeth into here. What am I getting excited over?
Yeah, truth be told,
three.
A lot of these undercard matches on all three of these destruction cards are
eating ass, right?
I wasn't going to use a term so crude, older. But
right. Love it.
Yeah, we've got another six-man tag. Then.
Oh, do we? Great. Okay.
This is six-man tag city, baby.
Woo.
Ghetto, Ishii, and Goto versus Chase Owens.
Oh, returning. What do you think? What's the over-under number on the weight?
Tongaloa and Tamatonga.
Okay. Oh, wait. Repeat that for me, please, because I didn't sink in the first time.
All right. Ghetto.
The second hit. Yeah, Ghetto. I got that. Chaos. Yep, I got that.
Yep, Ghetto, Ishii, and Goto versus Chase Owens,
uh-huh.
Tongaloa, and Tama Tonga.
We have to review this show?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we're going to be reviewing this show. This takes place on the 17th, so you can be rest assured that we're going to be talking about this on Sunday the 18th.
Oh, God. I am not excited. I'm excited.
I'm pumped.
What?
I can't wait.
What? You can't wait.
I can't wait.
I can wait. God damn.
Hey, we're going to have to talk about a Road 2 show as well. So, you know.
Yeah, this is a why would this? This does not sound like a destruction show. This does not sound like anything that's moving tickets.
This is a major pay-per-view in Tokyo, Damon.
They don't have pay-per-views anymore.
I call them pay-per-views. I'm never going to stop either.
No.
I still have my analog box.
Why would you order the $9.99 when you can pay $54.99?
That's right. We talked about Juice versus O'Reilly. I'm actually looking forward to that.
Wait, I didn't give a number yet. I didn't give a number. Let me ask you a question. Is ugh a number?
It could be.
Two.
All right.
Two.
How about Juice versus O'Reilly?
I'm looking. I would say that this is the meatiest of what we have so far.
That's a six or a seven.
This is a big spot for Juice.
It is. This is going to be a proving ground for him against a competitor of the caliber of Kyle O'Reilly, who many feel is one of the best wrestlers in the world right now.
Yeah, I'm excited for it. I know that pregnant pause didn't seem like it. I am. I'm going to give it a seven. I'm going to give seven to a Juice. All right.
How about it?
Let's do it, Juice. I mean, this is a nice little spot for Juice. What is this, third from the top?
Yeah, this is 1, 2, 3, 4. This is the fifth match.
Okay. So is this like right after intermission, you think?
Yeah, I'm thinking.
All right. Big spot. I'm going seven. Let's go seven. Good.
Then we've got another six-man tag. Will Ospreay, Yoshihashi, and Okada versus Takahashi, Bad Luck Fale, and Kenny Omega.
Well, I know we're looking forward to Fale Okada, right? So there's going to be some shenanigans there.
Yep, and
not
we've also...
Yeah, Yoshihashi, Kenny Omega,
yep,
right?
That's right.
And then Yujiro and Will Ospreay. And I can't shit on Yujiro anymore.
No, you can't because he's a cool guy, apparently.
Hey, listen. I don't want him punching me in the face when we drink. You know what's going to happen? He's probably gotten wind of all the fucking terrible things I've said about him.
Ah, so you think this is a setup?
This is a setup.
This is going to be
the in Tokyo.
Tokyo screw job.
The old Tokyo screw job. I don't think I make it. I think I die. I think I'm going to get through. I think I think some shady things are going to happen here. I'm worried.
That would be a poetic end to the PyroCast, really.
It really
when
would.
When you think about it.
You know what? What better way could we go out than with getting just crushed by Takahashi?
Yeah, you being murdered by Takahashi. That I almost kind of hope it happens now.
Yeah. What?
I'm kind of sold. I'm sold on this. This is
that Takahashi's going to murder
yeah,
me?
Yeah, this is moving the needle for me.
You think this will help our subscriber rate?
Yeah, I think it will.
you know, knowing that these are the last shows and the, you know, it's like the Hunger Games.
Yeah, we might have some sponsors.
My death, right? Coffins.
Yeah, we're gonna be plugging mausoleums,
services, mausoleums, cremation services. Yeah, I think I'm getting set up. Yeah, you know what? It really is. You know, like all the liquor talk and the girl. Yeah. I'm getting set up.
You just make sure you do not leave your drink. Like if you have to run to the bathroom, you take your beer with you.
Yeah. You're right. I could get roofied.
You could. It's almost happened to you before in Vegas.
It has.
And trouble follows you. Like
it really does.
Pretty much wherever you go. So
really, this is going to go overseas. I'm going to pack my carry-on.
You need some muscle with you on this trip.
You need to bring Elgin.
Yeah.
I think we need some big mic action.
I think so.
Yeah. I need some muscle. I need some help. Watch him be in cahoots with it.
Probably
the next scene you see is him splitting the money. All right, here's all right, good job, he's dead. All right, let's not talk about that. This is terrible. This is very
morbid talk.
Morbid. Yeah. Osprey, Hashi, Okada, Taka, 7 stars, 1,000 things. I love you, Mr. Takahashi. Takahashi-san.
Then we've got Taguchi, Tanahashi, and Elgin versus Evil, Sonata, and Naito.
Okay, again, the redemption of Los Ingobernables.
L.I.J.
How about Evil losing at Ring of Honor?
Yeah, how about that?
I know we didn't talk about that.
Here's the thing. That kind of makes sense why Bobby Fish would have a never title shot.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't know how, you know, I say this. Well, it is what it is. They're New Japan guys losing to Ring of Honor guys, and they're getting shot. So, I guess the promotion is going to connect the dots. I mean, I feel like I've seen this match 1,000 times, though. Why do I feel like I've seen like things like this 1,000 times? But
because we have,
and everybody in this match is very talented. I don't think I can go lower than a 5, but. You know, on paper, this really looks like a good match. I mean, look at the guys that are in this fucking match.
Sonata, Tanahashi, Elgin, Naito.
And you're building for Elgin Naito. This is going to be good. Come on. Cheer up. Cheer up, Damon. 7. I'm going to give it a 7.
A solid 6-man tag.
I'm going with 7. Yep.
Then we've got Shibata versus Fish. I think we're both looking forward to that. I'm gonna put this at an 8.
Yeah, I got to give it an 8, 9 because this is the most interesting thing on the show.
And Kushida Bushi. I'm
not
cautiously optimistic about this one simply because I think, you know, there's always the danger of shenanigans with Bushi matches. There's always the danger of mist. These guys, they've got to show me something with this match because I wasn't that impressed with the match they had earlier this year. If they can cut down on the shenanigans, the LIJ stuff on the outside, and make this a, you know, more of a contest.
Well, there you go. I think we're on the same page because I think, and again, just by the little reaction that Kushida gave me, I think he feels the stank of that Super J Cup. I think he feels the stank, and I'm hoping that eliminates a lot of the silliness. They're headlining the show. They're main eventing this show. So I'm hoping that the stank of that Super J Cup motivates them to have a decent match. They're good. They're talented guys. They can have it. They're going to have a good. I'm going to say they're going to have a good match. They're going to have a good match. I'm going to give it a 7. Again, Shibata Fish is I'm more excited for. Kushida and Bushi will have a good match. And I think, again, the stank of the Super J Cup is going to help elevate them and motivate them to have a good match.
I hope Taichi comes out during this match.
Oh, please. God almighty.
And hits Kushida with the mic stand.
El Desperado holds him outside the ring. Lord, please no. All right.
And for the next two shows, for time constraints, Damon, I think we should talk about the main matches here because truth be told.
How long have we gone a long time here?
Yeah, we're almost clocking in at an hour and a half right now. So
wow, look at us go. All right, so yeah, let's just do main events.
Yeah, let's talk about the main events here. For the IWGP heavyweight tag titles, we've got the Briscoes defending against the Young Bucks. This is a match I think both you and I are looking forward to seeing. I think that this is a step in the right direction for finally, you know, this has been long overdue, combining both of these tag team divisions together. I see the Bucks walking away with the titles here and being double champions.
Double champions. Wouldn't shock me. I think that these guys are very familiar with each other, so I don't think there's going to be any problems working together, right? They're very familiar with each other. I think it's going to be a good match. I think anytime the Briscoes come over, they always have their working shoes, and finally they got somebody in the ring that feels like they can work a really good, strong match with, right?
I've heard some people complaining about this match.
In what way?
Because I think that they're concerned about, I mean, this goes back to the people being concerned about the further westernization of the New Japan product, and I think they kind of see this as, oh god, we've got two American tag teams working together. I don't see that at all, but I've heard rumblings, I've heard whispers on the streets of a certain, perhaps a minority of people.
There are traditionalists, and I don't have listen, and if you're going to put me in a bucket, you could probably put me in that traditionalist this bucket. But no, I don't have a problem with the tag belts. Something's got to be done with the tag belts, right?
We have a time-honored tradition in this business.
I understand, but
did you get the reference?
I think so.
That was McMahon trying to rationalize the screw job. The night after.
Jay Briscoe screwed Jay Briscoe.
Right.
I don't have a problem with this. I think, again, something has to be done with the heavyweight belts, and I have no problem with Bucks Briscoes in this match. No. And I'm a traditionalist. I don't have a problem with it. I think it's going to be a good match. I'm excited for it. I think it's 6 or 7s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Hey, listen, at least it's not a multi-man tag, right?
Oh, well, hey, we are going to see the six-man titles defended on the next show.
Really?
Oh, yeah, we're going to talk about that in a second.
I miss them.
Yeah, I miss them, too. They're fun.
Who are the champs?
They're Kojima and the Super High Flyers.
It's not Elgin and...
No. Okay. I mean, Kevin Kelly probably thinks it still is, but...
Oh, that's not right.
I'm teasing. He knows that.
All right, very good. Briscoe's Bucks 7. I'm into it. All right, what's next?
Next, for the ROH World title, we have got the aerial assassin, Will Ospreay, taking on Adam Cole, baby. I posted this one on Twitter. Hey, I posted this on Twitter. My pants are down for this one. This is right up my alley.
You like Adam Cole, don't you?
I'm a big Adam Cole fan. I think that guy's a star.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not as high as you are, but I think he's very good. Again, I think he's had great matches that I've seen live, Kyle O'Reilly being one of them. I think this match will be very good, bordering on great. I think it's a different, fresh matchup. This is the first time these guys have locked horns. Am I correct?
I believe you are correct. And that's kind of a theme here with these shows. We're seeing some freshness.
Yeah. I don't know if maybe they've done a PWG.
Know what? There's always a chance that they've wrestled in that.
You won't know for 6 months, but
you're right.
They're going on right now. This is going on this weekend, right?
Yeah, and you know what? It's funny you should mention that because one of our listeners, one of our buddies, Manzoku, was actually there for night two.
Oh yeah,
yeah, yeah. He hit us up on Twitter and he said that it's been, and I quote, pretty fucking amazing.
I bet. I mean, that's a small building, lots of action. Liger was there.
Yeah, he was.
I was going to drive up to see Liger on
drive up.
Like, no, not there. But he was in like he was doing those outdoor shows, right? So he, like Thursday night.
Yeah, yeah, in Jersey.
I was like, it was like upstate, or lower state New York, like right on the border with Jersey.
Okay.
I was like, Thursday night, I could shoot up there. No, I didn't go. Ospreay, Adam Cole. I'm excited for it. I think this is going to be good, right? Not bad.
I can't wait.
Yeah, I think it's going to be very good. Adam Cole's debut, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Is he on the show before?
No, I don't think he's ever been on a New Japan show before because he was pulled off of those Honor Rising shows back in February.
Yeah.
And that was where we kind of thought that maybe he lost a bit of stock there with the New Japan brass. But hey, he's back. He's defending the ROH World title. So yeah, I think that this match has greatness written all over it. I'm looking forward to talking about it.
Ospreay, new Ring of Honor champion, right?
Hey, I don't think that's going to happen.
Okay.
But if you're asking me, would I have a problem with that?
I don't think you would.
Hell no.
All right. I think this is going to be a good match. I'm excited for this one. All right. What else we got?
We've got Okada taking on Bad Luck Fale. And I love the fact that, okay, so Fale beats Okada in the G1 climax. He doesn't even earn a title shot here. This is a non-title match.
Is it?
It is. It's not for the title.
Really?
Yeah. That's amazing to me.
Huh. I did not know that.
Yep.
Okay. Why would they do that?
I have no idea because Fale beat him fair and square.
Wow. Okay.
He gets no title shot, though. Marufuji does, though.
Wow.
Maybe they're basing it on match quality now.
Well, that's weird. I mean...
Yeah, it's kind of interesting.
Okay. All right. Well...
At least as of this recording, it is not a title match. I can tell you that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, does that tell a tale of Fale beating Okada here?
No. No.
Okay. All right.
It does not.
Okay.
Because Okada's got to be strong for power struggle going into that big match with Marufuji. So, no.
Okay. Good point.
Rainmaker, right. 1, 2, 3.
Rainmaker 1, 2, 3 on Fale. Big Fale. All right.
Yep.
All right. And then what do we got? We got Yoshihashi Omega, right?
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this. If I would have said at the beginning of 2016, Damon, Yoshihashi is going to be main eventing a pay-per-view this year,
I'd be like, we're doing an NXT podcast. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well.
Crazy, huh?
It is crazy.
A breakout year for Mr. Yoshihashi. I mean, he had the match of his life against Kenny Omega in the G1, defeated him, and Omega defending the briefcase. And he said at that press conference, he said, like, look, I know I'm supposed to defend this briefcase. I'm going to defend it against whoever I want. And he did pick Yoshihashi.
Mm-hmm.
So
something's fishy here, Colin.
What's fishy?
Like, well, it just seems like these matches seem very predictable, don't you think? Like, don't you think that they have to throw us a monkey wrench somewhere here where Fale beats Okada? Or I can't imagine Yoshihashi beating Omega. I mean, Omega's got to get the win here, right?
Well, yeah, I think we're looking at Omega versus Okada at the Dome. I truly do believe that.
I do too.
I think if we're going to see like a big surprise during this show in particular, I think it's going to happen in the tag title match.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, maybe these are just, you know, periods to end these G1 situations, right? And again, we talked about these are safe wins for people to be strong as we build them up, you know, toward the holiday season and the Dome show.
I think they should have just combined all the big matches on these three shows and put it in Dome somewhere.
This is crazy. One, it's strange that this year it's three shows. It's three destruction shows.
Yeah.
I don't think these should... These are weak lineups, Colin, don't you think?
Yeah, they are pretty... It's almost like it's a combination, like if you would take like half of a Road 2 show and then add in some pay-per-view caliber matches in there, like sprinkle some in. That's kind of what these shows are.
These are weird... And good because, I mean, it's weird in the sense that these are guys that you don't expect to be headlining shows, but, you know, we clamor about making new stars and you know, they're doing what we're asking. So maybe we should just shut our yaps and enjoy the ride here. But it does scream very, again, Omega's got to win this, right? To put a period on that and get redemption for the loss, and so does Okada. I think the interesting stuff is down the bottom of the card. Okay. And then we move on to Kobe, right?
Yep, we move on to Kobe on the 25th. And let us take a look at the main matches for that. I did mention that the never open weight 6-man titles will be on the line here.
All right, dusting those things off. Good. So what do we got there?
So let's take a look. We have got. This is kind of interesting, actually, because
is it somebody? Let me ask you this. I don't know. I'm not looking at it. So obviously, it's Kojima, Seidel, and Ricochet, right? The champions defending.
Yep, the champs defending against the.
I'm gonna guess. Is it somebody that's never challenged before?
One person that's never challenged before.
Okay. Is it a Bullet Club?
Yes.
All right. So how about Takahashi, Hangman, Page, and fucking Fale?
No, you're wrong. This is almost like a dream team.
Oh, no. God.
No, it's the Bucks and Adam Cole.
Wow.
So I'm going to make...
So give me the... So it's Kojima, Seidel, Ricochet.
Yeah.
Against the Bucks and Adam Cole.
Yeah. And what I think that is going to happen here, I'm calling it right now, the Bucks are going to defeat the Briscoes.
What?
And they're going to defeat the never open weight champs.
They're going to have three belts.
Yeah, the Bucks are going to have three belts. I'm calling it right now. The most decorated tag team in professional wrestling today.
They're gonna have enough waste room.
Imagine trying to get all those through customs.
Oh, that'd be a pain in the ass, wouldn't it?
That's like 20, 30.
Please, they're leaving the fucking never belts behind. They're like, here, Tiger, take care of these hunks of shit.
I'm looking forward to this one.
And you think Adam Cole's gonna rock that, right?
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to that. You sold it for me.
Did I?
Well, I think that on paper it looks really good, but, you know, that might be interesting. All right, fuck it. I'm in. Do it. 7, 8, 12. I'm interested. Go.
Yeah, so that's actually the... there's only two title matches on this show, and that's one of them. This show is just littered with six-mans and tag matches.
Well, we got Nagata Shibata against Red Dragon. That should be good,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, Nagata Shibata against Red Dragon. I mean, let me just run through the card on this one very quickly, just because. Kenta Mitsuo, Henare, and Finley, you know, the two new young lions, taking on Roppongi Vice and Will Ospreay. That could be good.
That's a nice learning opportunity for the young lions. Good.
Yeah, Captain New Japan and Yoshitatsu versus, get a load of this tag team, Chase Owens and Yujiro Takahashi.
Listen, that's right up your alley, my friend.
It is.
That's right up your alley.
Cannot wait for us to review that one.
No fat shaming, right?
Of course not. When have I ever done that?
Uh-huh. All right.
Mr. Carb.
Monsieur Carb to you, sir.
Taguchi Honma and Makabe versus Tiger Mask, Manabu Nakanishi, and Hiroyoshi Tenzan.
You're going to put that fucking... I got to sit through these other two shows, and you're going to do this to me?
Yeah. Hey.
Christ. This is some kind of government torture or something.
This is worse than waterboarding.
It seems like it.
This is what we should do to those ISIS people.
All right. Goodness gracious.
Sitting
all right.
With them watch Nakanishi six mans.
I'll tell you where the plans are. I give up. I surrender. All right, next.
Nagata Shibata versus Red Dragon.
Right. That should be good.
Yeah, that should be good. Then we've got the never six-man belts.
Right. That's interesting.
Yep, that is interesting. Then we've got the Briscoes, Ishii, and Goto versus the Guerrillas of Destiny, Bad Luck Fale, and Kenny Omega.
You know what this match is going to be. Ring introduction. Bullet Club attacks them before the bell. Pair up. Toss them outside. Brawl in the crowd for 20 minutes. Whip against a guardrail. Right? You know this, right?
Yeah, I think you're onto something.
I mean, this is we've seen it 20,000 times.
Is that a number?
No, I just made it up.
Oh,
yeah, I can't tell you I'm thrilled. What scares me is that what have we got? Briscoes and what?
Yeah, Briscoes, Ishii, and Goto.
Okay.
Versus Alola, Tamatanga, Fale, and Omega.
What I do like is Ishii and who's it? It's Ishii and Yoshihashi, right?
No.
Oh, what who is it?
Ishii and Goto.
Oh.
Remember he was in the finals of the G1?
Who?
Hiroki Goto, Chief J Goto.
Oh, never heard of him. I guess they're not doing Yoshihashi, right? And I haven't seen them together.
Right? No, it doesn't look like we're at least not yet. We're not seeing that tag team, but you know, we do have the tag league coming up. So,
would you rather see Ishii, Ralph, and Goto?
Truth be told, yeah, I'd rather see Ishii and Goto because at least it gives Goto something to do.
How about Ishii being a tag belt, you know, wearing a tag strap?
I'm into it.
I'm into that too. I wish they would go that route. They're not going to do it. They're going to disappoint us again. Fuckers.
They could call that tag team the Big Hosses.
Ew, don't call. You know what? There's an indie tag team in the New Jersey, Pennsylvania area in the 90s. Big Hosses.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, don't call them that then.
Don't. They're terrible. All right. And then what else we got?
Oh, God. We've got Kushida, Juice Robinson, and Tanahashi versus Bushi, Evil, and Sonata. Hmm.
Tanahashi, very low profile on these shows.
Yeah, Tanahashi. Well, hey, I mean, look, he had a grueling G1, kind of taking it easy here. I mean, he's got to conserve his energy for January. He's got to recharge those batteries.
Right, headlining the dome. You know, he's got a lot.
It's not going to be headlining. I do think he's going to be.
Told me he was.
What? No. He's going to be in the semi-main event. We'll get to that in a second.
All right. I don't care about that.
And then the semi-main event for this show, we've got Gedo and Jado, fuck you.
Yep.
Yoshihashi and Okada.
Uh-huh.
Versus Atsushi Kotoje, Daisuke Harada, Toru Yano, and Naomichi Marufuji.
Little Noah action, right?
Yeah, a little Noah action.
A little Chaos Noah. All right. I can get into that. That should be fun. That should be interesting.
How about a win for...
The Noah.
Yeah, for the Noah. Maybe Marufuji can pin, I don't know, Jado or Gedo or whoever. And
yeah, I think that's what we're looking at,
right? That could build towards the big power struggle match that we're going to see. I can't wait for that.
The King of Pro Wrestling match, right? We're talking about...
Oh, yeah, King of Pro Wrestling in October. I'm already jumping ahead to November.
Look at you. We got a big King of Pro Wrestling show in October.
Yeah, there will be English commentary for that one, by the way.
Is that right? Did you get this exclusive on that?
Yep, I got the scoop from Big Kev, him and King Carino coming over once again.
Those lucky bastards.
King of Pro Wrestling show at Sumo Hall. So
that guy's living a life right now.
He is. He's living the dream.
Yeah, I tell you. Did you see him do his Ring of Honor update with his Phillips polo?
I do watch those. I didn't see the most recent one.
I love when he does this. This is how he opens every one of them. He's looking down like on the computer, and then it's like, oh, there's a camera here. Like, oh, hi, guys. Oh, he's the best, that Kevin Kelly. All right. He is a good guy. What's the main event on this?
Yeah, main event for the IWGP Intercontinental title. We've got the champion, Michael Elgin, defending against Tetsuya Naito. So
I smell something here.
I smell something here, too. What I see happening, building towards the Dome show, I think that... We're going to see Naito win the Intercontinental title here and kind of be in that Nakamura position, all right? And then I think that what we're looking at for the Dome here, I think that since Tanahashi never got that rematch for the IC title, I think we're looking at Naito defending against Tanahashi.
I think you're right. I think you're right.
I think that is your Dome semi-main event. And then, of course, we're looking at Okada versus Omega. I think that sounds great.
I do too. I'm not going to lie. That's, to me, this is worthy of a trip. Absolutely.
An acid trip.
This is worth me getting murdered. I'm going to see this show and then I'm going to get murdered. What else is there to add? I think you're right on point. I think we see a title change here. I think Mr. Elgin, his run with the IC belt, I thought, very good for him. I thought this was a good job by him. Naito takes the strap. And again, we build toward Hiroshi Tanahashi there. So maybe that's the word I heard on the streets. Maybe that's where we're going. And I think I'm all aboard this train. So look for a title change here, and moving forward to Tanahashi Elgin, or excuse me, Tanahashi Naito coming up. So good. There you go.
Alrighty, so there you have it. Those are the three destruction shows we've got coming up again on the 17th, the 22nd, and the 25th. And as far as next week goes, there might be a bit of a scheduling change here in the PuroCast recording schedule because...
The fucking Eagles, that's why, the son of...
Because of the fucking Eagles.
The fucking Eagles. It's football season, kids, so I got to work these goddamn games. And especially... with them trading their quarterback. Do you know about that, right, Colin?
Yeah, sure. I know all about that thing. You know how closely I followed foosball.
Well, guess what? I had to cover press conferences and all that horse shit. So there's a big story here locally. So, I got football season coming up. So 1 o'clock kickoff. Going to fuck me over. And then
to a Jesse Ventura book signing.
Yeah, look at you.
And one of the questions that I have that I'm planning on asking him.
Yeah,
he's probably going to have no idea what I'm talking about, but right. He wrestled one match in Japan against Antonio Inoki.
Really?
He did.
Wow, what year was that?
Oh God, I don't even
that's televised.
I don't even remember off the top of my head.
I have to look that up.
As far as I know, that's the only match he ever wrestled in Japan. I'm going to ask him if he has any recollection of that.
He had to wrestle more, right? So, you have to go one match, right?
Yeah,
you
I mean,
a tour.
Yeah, you would figure that he was there for a tour, but...
Oh, wow. That's crazy. Yeah, do you think he'll remember that?
I doubt it. To be honest with you, I doubt it. Because, I mean, look, he's been out of the pro wrestling game for so long now that I don't know. We'll see. But I do plan on asking him that if he has any memories of wrestling in Japan against Inoki. So I'll be sure to give everyone a full report.
If you don't come back with a what do we call that in the radio biz? A bumper?
This is Governor Ventura.
Yeah,
you're
right.
Listening to the
hear.
New Japan PuroCast.
That's what I want. This is Governor Ventura. That's what I want. I want that. Yeah.
I'll see what I can do.
All right. See what you can. I was going to do some more, but I forgot my recorder. I was a dope.
You need me there, Damon. Let's face it.
I do need you there. I need you as the guiding light. You are the guiding light. Okay. So, that Sunday. So we're looking to record when? Tuesday?
Yeah, we're looking to record Tuesday because this Road 2 Destruction show, the lone Road 2 show from Corrigan Hall, takes place on Monday the 12th. So what we're thinking is we're going to watch that show on Monday. Then hopefully we'll be able to hop on here, give our thoughts on the show, preview the shows for next week, and
Yeah, I think that's the plan, right? So, again, a little delayed in your usual, for those who subscribe to our feed, usually get them, Sunday night? Voices of Wrestling, the good people there, they usually pop that up in the afternoon. So, again, a little delayed, but again, we'll have shows to talk about. We'll have plenty to talk about. We'll have Governor Ventura introducing the show, giving his hot takes on Shibata and
9/11.
9/11.
And the Kennedy assassination.
Right. So we'll hear all that jibber jabber. It should be good. Okay, so then that's the schedule. So don't panic, people. We're not going anywhere.
All right, so we just want to thank all of our great subscribers, those who have been with us from the very beginning, and everyone new who has been hopping on. Thank you so much for all of the great feedback you have been giving us on Twitter, Facebook, iTunes. Remember, you can go. I heard Damon chuckling there. I don't know what that's all about.
Neither do I.
Just go to NewJapanPuroCast.com. Links for all social media, our RSS feed, iTunes, Stitcher, the whole bit right there, as well as VoicesOfWrestling.com. You can subscribe to their great podcasting network as well. So before we sign off, Damon, any final comments?
No final comments from me. Again, keep in mind, lots of good shows coming up. Do all those things that Colin has just mentioned. Be good to one another. Be kind to one another. That's my new motto. That's
like Jerry Springer giving the final thoughts.
The final thoughts. Hey, I'm just looking. Antonio Inoki defeats Jesse Ventura. Take a guess at the time.
Oh, it had to be short.
It wasn't ever.
Like 5 minutes.
Oh, 3 minutes, 41 seconds.
Wow.
Antonio Inoki. He also wrestled Tatsumi Fujinami in that same 1983.
Really?
At Cork and Hall. Yep. Singles match against Tatsumi Fujinami, 9 minutes. This is all according to our good friends at Cage Match. And then that was the first. So January 1st, 1983. Second, he lost to Antonio Inoki at Cork and Hall. And then he was in a couple tag matches. He did wrestle Kengo Kimura on the 6th. And then that was it. He was out the door and back to the AWA. So, yeah, 1983 is what you're looking for there.
All right, yeah. I'm gonna ask him, any fond memories of wrestling in Japan at Korakuen Hall against Fujinami?
I was set up. It was a conspiracy. The government's behind me losing to Fujinami.
All righty, so there you have it.
We're done, right? Come on, wrap up.
Yeah, we are done. We're going to be back here probably next Tuesday to review this Road to Destruction show. So, on that note, my name is Colin Miller for Damon McDonald. We'll catch you guys next week. Have a good one.
Oh, no.